Oh my goodness, praise the Lord, everybody. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. Oh, you deposited something in my spirit that I'm gonna be all right, amen. If I didn't get anything, you won't let go of me, amen. I want you to walk away with that today, knowing that God will not let go of you. Wow, that's powerful. There's many times I've got to admit and confess I wanted to give up. I wanted to throw in the towel. Sometimes it gets so rough, I want to just walk away. But you know, the goodness is God will not let go of us. You serve an all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, immutable God who will not let go of you. Can you imagine? You're fighting against the most powerful source in the universe. And he says, I've graven you on the palms of my hands, and I will not let go of you without a fight. You don't want to fight with the Almighty. Your arms are too short. Amen. And so I'm just delighted. I thank God for this awesome, incredible, once again, band. I want you to put your hands together for this amazing band. Praise God. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for just lifting us. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, all of you, for blessing us. Amen. And then the praise team. Amen. Y'all get up here. I just forget. He be telling me it's time to come up. And I be like trying to look away. No, I'll keep on singing. So when you don't see me looking, making contact, it's because I don't want to go up yet. I want to hear some more of that because that's powerful, dropping in your spirit. And today you're going to walk with this. And I tell you, around Monday or Tuesday, you're going to wish you were back in the church. Say, sing, praise team. He won't let go of me. But I'm glad to be here once again, and I praise God. And I thank God that they take their time. And I know it doesn't take long to preach the word of God. Sometimes we just get caught up, and we want to embellish the points. But I'm going to give you the cliff notes because I think you've already been blessed by the gift of God. And I want you to know that I'm just glad and excited to be here. Thank God for my wonderful elders, Daph, Elder Sterling, Elder Kiron, thank you so much, Jason. Amazing team. I want to thank God for our tech individuals behind the scene who put your hands together for them. Amen. The cameras. We are blessed. Thank God for our cooks. You know, there's a meal after service. There's a lunch, so you don't have to run home. There's a lunch, and you can stay by and fellowship and get a little something to eat, and you can be encouraged in the Lord. Your physical needs have been met. Praise God. Your spiritual needs been met. And you've been blessed of God today. Amen. I just can't get over that. That song gonna work. He won't let go of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just going to get into the word just for a moment. You know, and I've got to confess, I was talking to Kiron this week, and I looked at the message, and that brother preached. I mean, not necessarily just preaching, but he taught last week. And I know you were blessed, and the lesson was awesome. And I watched it, and we were talking about maybe there need to be a part two. I said, no, man, I'm going to let you go ahead and do part two. And then he said, no, I'm going to give you the baton. And I said, no, I'm going to give you the baton. It's almost like those, you remember those chipmunks? No, you go first. No, you go first, back in the day on cartoons. And so I said, okay, I'll take it. And I'll just, from the word of God, lay a little bit more foundation, because I think this is an ongoing message, as you know, in other words, I think it's ongoing. Because it's one that's needed when it comes to understanding who we are and whose we are, and then the function that God created us for, and then understanding really this concept of relationship, communication, and marriage, and understanding family. And so I'm grateful today for that. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read Genesis chapter 3. If you would just stand with me for a moment so we can read the word. Just stand. You've been sitting for a while. Let's just stand. We're going to look in the Bible to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading verse 1. Verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We're reading from the King James Version. I have the New King James. We're going to read it from the screen. And it begins, now the serpent was more subtle. Let's read that together. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Our last verse, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now, let's read it like we did it last week. I like the way we did it. Put that verse back up again, verse 9. Last week, let's do it like we meant it. Now, when you get to where art thou, let's yell it out like you're calling for somebody. I like that. And you'll get the emphasis. Now, we're going to read it, but when we get to where art thou, we want to raise our voices like you're calling for somebody. Let's read verse 9 again. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of God this morning. We thank God for his word because it's powerful. I like that. Where art thou? We're going to look at the subject, why we need to talk. That was part one. We need to talk, and we're going to look at that this morning. Let's just breathe a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we study together your word, and as we get a clear understanding of your grace and your mercy, why you love us so much, Father, we pray that you would pull back the curtains of time so that we might pierce into eternity. And may your wisdom be deposited in our hearts today that we might understand we serve a God who loves us with an everlasting love, and he will not let go of us. So now as we open your word, we pray for clear understanding, and we pray for insight and wisdom. But we ask it in the name of Jesus. Bless us, we pray. Amen and amen. It was very clear last week when the word was preached and you heard the word. And the Bible says Adam and Eve sinned against God. We know the story in Genesis chapter 3, how the serpent beguiled Eve. She was deceived, but Adam decided. I say that again, Eve was deceived, but Adam decided. His eyes were wide open, and it's amazing what happened because Adam had a disposition one way, but then after sin, his disposition changed. In other words, Adam had a certain mindset. He was perfect, created in the image of God, both Adam and Eve. They were made in the image of God. And as was mentioned on last week, after Adam and Eve sinned, and no matter what you're going through, even right now and what you're experiencing, no matter what valley you might be in, no matter how low you might be going through something, one thing you must remember, and that is in the midst of it, it was God who started the conversation. In other words, it was God who came after Adam and Eve. After they had broke relationship with him, after the relationship was interrupted because of disobedience, it was God who took the first step. And that suggests whenever there is a problem, somebody ought to take the first step. Now, it's not about a male or female thing. It's about somebody initiating contact. Because whenever there's a broken interruption, unless someone comes back, the relationship stays divided and division and separated. And it was never God's intention for us to be separated from him, let alone separated from one another. But an enemy had done this. And one of the things I want to point out today as we look at the foundation, and I promise you, I can't say I promise you, I'll try not to be long, but I want to have an understanding. I want to teach more than preach, but I might get happy. Don't hold it against me. And I might get a little excited because when I look at the goodness of God and understand what God has done and God has given and revealed to us, I am so convinced that for me personally, and I want to declare it on you, to be lost, you will have to decide to go to hell and you won't be deceived into hell. In other words, God is going to make his plain words so plain. Notice what the Bible says. And God said, and who everybody said, and God said, and the Bible says, and God said, I want you to understand, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, again, I want to make sure we understand the word of God. God said, let us. So it wasn't just one individual that was involved in creation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost had a conversation. And they said, let us make man in our image. Now, I don't know where in time God decided to do this, but I believe that God, who inhabits all and everything, decided, I want to make somebody in my image. That was God's initiative. That was God's desire. That was on the heart of God. And I believe as long as God has been God, and because there's no afterthought with God and there is no lag time with God, when God said, let us make man in our image, he had been carrying this thought on his heart for a long time. And all of a sudden, God says, let's roll this plan out. Somewhere in creation with one foot on nothing and the other foot on nowhere, when he spoke to nothing and nothing became something, and then he decided to hold up. I'm going to make man in our image, and I'm not going to speak him into existence. I'm going to scoop up some clay and carve it and form it in the image of God, and I'm going to breathe in his nostrils the breath of life. And all of a sudden, this man became a living soul, and that was not by accident. It didn't take place over 1,000 years, a million years, billion years. It didn't evolve from a plant or an amoeba or a cell. It was God's intention to make man in his image, and that's why you need to understand today that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not a biological mistake. You are not an accident. You are God intended. I want you to understand that you are God intended. You know, when you go to the store and you buy something, you intend to get what you want. That object that you purchased, that thing that you buy, was your choice. Don't you know you were God's choice? I want you to understand, let that marinate. You are God's choice. So whatever you're going through and whatever you are experiencing, you've got to remember you are God's choice. You are here not by an accident. You are here because God wanted somebody just like you, and voila, you showed up in the image of God. Now, what blows my mind is when you understand and step back from this whole thing, you need to understand that God made man in his image. And according to this, when God made man in his image, notice here, why? Why did God make man? Why did God make us? Okay, I want to ask that question. Why did God make us in the first place? Because, see, there are people walking around today having no clue, no understanding, they're not aware of the knowledge that God has deposited to his church, to deposit to his people. And when you know the truth will make you free. And the bottom line is this, we were created for a purpose. Notice here, I want to read this to you. We were created for a purpose. Notice, God created man for his what, everybody? Own glory. So when you look at you and you look at me, you ought to see the glory of God. God made man for his own glory. Amen? That after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. So in other words, why are you going through something? God wants you to reunite with him. God wants fellowship with you through eternity. God wants your companionship. And it was God's purpose. Now get this. Now this is why the devil hates you so much. You don't get anything. Get this. It was God's purpose to repopulate heaven with the human family. Are you there? Do you feel me? In other words, this is not your home. You're a pilgrim passing through. It was God's intention to get you off of planet Earth and get you to glory. So you got to understand, you have a divine rendezvous with God, and God wants you to spend eternity with him. It was his purpose from the very beginning, after Adam and Eve were created in his image, after Lucifer sinned, it was God's purpose to repopulate heaven with the human family. And if they would show themselves obedient to every word, Adam was to be tested to see whether he would be obedient as a loyal angels or disobedient. So we have a choice. We are in the midst of a crisis, and that is, you got to make a choice to get off this planet, because you were made, number one, in the image of God. You were made to repopulate heaven, because the enemy of your soul is angry, upset. He's mad. He is so mad, the Bible says. He has come down with great wrath because he knows he has a short time, and that's the reason why relationships are under attack. I'm gonna say it a little bit more. In other words, you are under attack because, number one, you and I were supposed to repopulate heaven. Notice here, God created man for his own glory. And I'm gonna read it again, because after this, you'll see the next part. God created man for his own glory, that after the tests and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. It was God's purpose. Now notice the vacancies made in heaven by the fall of Satan. So you say, when did God decide to make us? I need you to understand the timeline. We came after the fall sometimes of Satan, and God says, no, don't worry about it. No one monkey stops the show. I'm going to repopulate heaven with somebody. And so God said, let me make man in my image, in our image, in the likeness of God. In other words, God made us to take the place of angels that decided to walk out on God. And you don't tell me the devil's not going to fight you at every breath you take, every eye-opening experience you have, every time you wake up in the morning. You are under enemy attack because you were made in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, carved and crafted in the image of God. And the devil, who I call an unemployed cherubim, is angry with you because every time he looks at you, he sees God. Every time he look at you, he see God. Every time. See, he can't get back to God because he can't fight God and live and talk about it. The word says there was war in heaven, and the war didn't last long. Michael and his angels fought. And I believe when Jesus stood up, like in Daniel, there was a time of trouble the world didn't see. And the Bible says Lucifer, he came flying down to earth like lightning because you can't fight God and talk about it. I don't know what he drank that morning. I don't know what he smoked. I don't know what he snorted. I don't know what he ate. All I know is he had to lose his everlasting mind to think he could fight God and live and talk about it. That's as ludicrous as one of my sons, and one of them here today, to jump up and think they're going to take me out. I don't care how old and how bad they think they are. They will never take Daddy out, even if I'm in a wheelchair, a high-powered turbo wheelchair. I'll roll them over first because they got to think twice before they take Daddy out. Amen. 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 Just want to set the record straight just in case he might think about it. But the fact is, for Lucifer, a created being, to think he gonna take God out is crazy. I mean, here you talking about somebody who never had a beginning, somebody that's all powerful, all consuming, omnipresent, omnipotent, all of the omnis you want to put on his name. He's Elohim, Adonai, God all by himself. And Lucifer, a covering cherub, decide he wants to fight God. And the Bible says he was kicked out of heaven. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to stop at a certain time because there's going to be another part to this. But I want you to theologically get this and understand why men and women, man made in the image of God, women are under attack. That's why when we're fighting this thing And again, I don't want anybody to misunderstand that I'm hating on any group of people. He died for the adulterer. He died for the fornicator. He died for the homosexual. He died for the lesbian. He died for the thief. He died for the murderer. He died for everybody. There's power in the blood of Jesus, and nobody is excluded from the grace of God. You have not fallen too low. You have not gone too far to get the grace of God. You can't out-sin the grace of God. God's grace is available, and it comes by faith. You just believe it, accept it. It's a gift of God. But I've got to tell the truth. In other words, the context of being male and female is bigger than just what you want to do. It's bigger than just who you want to love. It's bigger than a choice. If you want to just decide you want to date and I like him. Well, it's not based on what you like. You got to ask, what was God's original plan, and why did he have a plan to demonstrate something bigger to the universe, that his love is magnanimous and God has no reason to not share his love and power? See, the enemy of our soul lied on God, and he started telling the world that God was not fair. He's a dictator. God said, hold up. Once the battle started, there was question marks in the mind of angels, and the unfallen worlds wanted to know what's going on. They had never seen sin before. They had never seen anybody stand up against God before. This was new to them. And God said, I've got to throw down my trump card. And I don't know how long in eternity he was waiting to do this, to demonstrate his love. See, by the time we get to Calvary, Calvary is a window where the universe can look into and see what God's love looked like. By the time we get to Calvary, God is demonstrating that I've always been like this, but I waited for a certain time. He said, my foreknowledge did not ordain that this would exist. I just knew it was coming. And that's a mystery. God knew it was coming. And while he was coming, I don't know, why would an angel that had all part harmony, an angel that was covered with diamonds and rubies and carbuncle, an angel that had all part harmony, that could sing and be the choir at the same time, why this covering cherub who stood in the very Shekinah presence of God decide to fight God? I don't know. It's a mystery. It's a mystery that a perfect Adam and Eve would sin against. It's a mystery. It's a mystery that we turn our back on God, even after God's goodness has been dropped and demonstrated over and over again. It's a mystery why we won't trust him more. I don't understand it, but sin is ugly, and it's a mystery. So God said, let me show you something. I'm going to make man in my image. And that's why it's bigger than just somebody saying we have a right to love who we want to love. Now you say, wait a minute, why can't I choose? You have a choice to love, but who you love has to be in the plan of God's original plan. And what is that plan? I made male and female for a reason. And the reason why I made male and female for a reason is because this angel accused me of being stuck up. An angel accused me of not being fair. An angel accused me of not sharing my power and my prerogative to be God. And so therefore, he's going to be kicked out of heaven, but I'm going to repopulate heaven with a unique race of people that he doesn't believe that I can do. In other words, he wanted my power, but he didn't want my character. Now, feel me on this, saints. Feel me. See, he wanted to act like God, but he didn't want to be God in a sense of character. See, he wanted the prerogatives of God. Remember now, it was Jesus that made the world. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was in the beginning, and the world was made by this Word. Now, remember, when Jesus started speaking, it was Christ who actually created the world. He was that agency. It was Jesus. And so when Jesus started creating the world, the devil got angry with Jesus. He's not angry with a God. He's angry with Christ. That's why the controversy is over Jesus. That don't matter what religion you're in, long as you don't get no Jesus. Because when you start talking about Jesus, people get aggravated and agitated. Because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The devil, Lucifer, was angry with Jesus. Because he wanted his power. When he saw Jesus speaking, saying, let there be light, and light showed up. He said, let there be darkness, and darkness showed up. Let there be trees, and trees start growing, and flowers started growing. When he said, let there be stuff that was not start being, Lucifer said, I want to do that. Got upset, got angry, almost like a little boy going to the court to play basketball. And because nobody picks him, he takes his ball and says, if I can't play, I'm shutting it down. And so Lucifer got angry because he said he couldn't play. Nobody can play. And he started lying on God. And listen, brothers and sisters, this is the context of why it's so important for us to understand male and female relationship. Because female and male relationship is going to demonstrate God's power. And when the male and female relationship breaks down, then it is a slap in God's face. And that's why God is depending on us to be able to handle this thing called relationships. I promise you, watch this, listen. So the Lucifer says, I want to be God. You can't be me. If I made you over, you would still be a created being. Now, you're the fourth most intelligent being in the universe. You seal up the sum. There's nobody like Lucifer. You got it going on beside the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You are the man. But Lucifer wasn't satisfied with that. Pride was found in his heart. And he said, I'm going to ascend to the mountain up to the north, and I'm going to be like God, and I'm going to sit. In other words, I'm going to take a prerogative that God will not give me. And he got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Pride. And my brothers and sisters, so God says, now, because the universe was not ready to understand the inevitable results of sin, God said, I've got to teach them through pictorial study. In other words, I've got to show them that it's not that I'm not fair with my power. I got to show them that Lucifer is just out of line. But if I destroy him, there will be a question mark in the minds of people. There will be a question mark in the minds of the world. Oh, man, you step out of line, God gonna get you. No, he had to give him time to show his principles. He had to give Lucifer time to demonstrate. And I'm like, Lord, why did you give him time? I wish you would have destroyed him right away. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of heartache. I'm tired of tripping over the same stuff over and over. I'm tired of saying I won't do it and I do it. I'm tired of going back to the same. I'm preaching myself. I'm tired of going back to the same problems, Lord. Why didn't you just destroy him? Because then people would serve me out of fear. And I don't want fear. I want love. I don't want anybody coming to me because they have to. It's a choice. That's why when it's all said and done, nobody can blame God for anything because you had choice. And I tell people all the time, you're not stuck. We just stay too long. We're one choice from a breakthrough. God has rolled out the truth. All you got to do is see it. After all of the singing, after all the music, God prepares our heart to drop a word in it. You are here not by accident. God wants you to know the truth. And the truth is this. It's not that I don't want Lucifer to have the ability to create. He just can't have it. But I'm going to demonstrate how good I am. I'm going to make man in my image. I'm going to give them the prerogative to do something that he says I won't let him do. So God created man in his own image. Of God created he. Now notice what the text says. Notice what the text says. Real slow. So God, in the image of God, created he, him, male and female, created he, them. Now notice, he, him, and he, them. Are you with me? In other words, God is one God, but he makes two individuals to demonstrate his oneness. He makes a male and a female to demonstrate his oneness. You got to get that. In other words, God says, I'm one God. There's one God, three personality, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But we are one, but we're going to make two individuals to demonstrate our oneness. Male and female created he, them. So you are not male by accident. You're not female by accident. He made a distinction at creation. I'm making some males and some females. Now, don't come back confused to me. If I'm the director, I can make you male and female. I'm not confused. Don't tell me I made a mistake. Don't tell me I'm trapped in another. No, I'm making you male and I'm making you female because I've got to demonstrate to the universe that I don't have a problem sharing my power. I want the world to know that I'm going to make male and female to do something that angels can't do and something that animals can't do, but they can. Now watch this. Angels, they can love, but they can't create. Animals can create, but they can't love. Now you say, wait a minute, my dog love me. No, that's instinct. As long as you feed him, taking care of him, yeah, he gonna love you. But you start beating him and kicking him and doing some stuff to him, he's going to walk away. He only does it out of instinct. Can animals love? No. They're conscious. They're not subconscious. They exist, but they don't know they exist. That's why animals will not be going to heaven. Now, I hate to tell you that. A little pretty cat, your little dog, ain't going he gonna to make the world over, but it's going to be all right. They're going to have some other animals there, so don't worry about it. But the fact is, God says, I'm making male and female so that together, male and female will have the ability to create life. That's why when 23 chromosomes from you and 23 chromosomes from your spouse, husband and wife, and that's how it's supposed to be, when they create 46 chromosomes, 23 came from the male, 23 comes from the female, and you and I can do something that nobody else in the universe can do. We can love and create. That's why he made male and female. That's why he did it. Now watch what God does. Notice. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. So if the devil can't, he wants to deface the image of God because he hates God. So how do you deface the image of God? You attack male and female and confuse them so that they don't know if they're male or female. And then you confuse and you are now defacing the image of God. So when I look at you, we look at the image of God. Notice this. Notice here. So he made male and female, number one, was God's ideal. We didn't come up with it. No denomination came up with it. No church came up with it. The Bible says God created male and female. That was God's ideal. So don't hate on me because we want to go back to the original plan of God and see how God makes us. It's amazing how when you start talking truth from the Bible, they want to say, well, why are you going to the Bible? Because I have no other book, no other authority to stand on. A man, the Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is death. I don't have any other source that is credible for me to know that I can stand on other than thus saith the Lord. Well, you're too strict. You're living narrow. How do you know God exists? Well, I'd rather live as though he exists, find out later that he doesn't, than to live as though I don't believe in him and find out later that he does. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. But then when he comes back, oh, I didn't know he was. Well, I'm going to live as though he is, and I'd rather be disappointed that he ain't, because the fact is when I was living this life for him, somebody did something. Somebody put joy in my heart. Somebody woke me up in the morning. Somebody put health in my limbs. Somebody put food on the table. Somebody protected my children, whatever you want to call them. I just know there's somebody up there running stuff, and I'm not here because I've done something special, but because of his grace. Notice, saints, we only got a few more minutes. I'm going to hasten. I'm going to stop. I'm just going to stop. Wherever I am, I'm just going to stop. Amen. It was God's idea. Now watch this. God made male and female for a purpose. Because remember, the devil wants to distort the image of God. And if the devil can't deface God, then he wants to distort God. So this is what the devil does. Watch this. If he wants to do it this way, man now has the ability, the prerogative to do what God can do, create. So when male and female comes together, you have the privilege and the power to do something the devil cannot do. You know what the devil does real good? The Bible calls him a deceiver, a counterfeit. Everything the devil does, he piggybacks on what God made, and he counterfeits. Everything is a counterfeit. For instance, God gave us grapes to eat. The devil takes the grapes, smash them, put them in bottles, ferment, and it's called alcohol. God gave us grass to mow and cut. We take the grass and put it in easy, wider papers. And everything in other words, the devil takes what God made and counterfeit. He gave us the cocoa plant. We make it cocaine and all of that other stuff and snort it, shoot it. We do everything but what God said do. God gave us marriage, and we have shacking up. I'm going to try and test ride and see. I'm not going to marry you. I'm just going to live with you for a while and see if it works. God gave us marriage, and the devil gives us. God gave us the Sabbath, and the devil gives us a counterfeit. Let me tell you something. Everything the devil does is a counterfeit. He can't create anything. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you got to understand the context. That's why, watch this, when Christ comes back, this is another sermon altogether, but I'm not going to preach it. The dead in Christ going to rise first. So when you die in the Lord, you sleep. You're going to be resurrected. The living righteous going to see Christ, and we're going to be caught up in the air. Don't go to New York. Don't go to Cleveland. If they say Jesus is there, don't buy a ticket to go to Arizona. When he comes back, the Bible says every eye going to see him. He's going to hover in the sky like a helicopter. And everybody going to be caught up to meet him. We're going to go back to heaven for 1,000 years. You say, why is 1,000 years? Well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, for 1,000 years, we're going to be in heaven. Now, watch this, saints, how close. This is beautiful. For 1,000 years, the righteous living and dead going to be in heaven for 1,000 years. We're not going to stay in heaven because the Bible says we're going to inherit the earth, the meek. So earth is where we're going to actually be, on earth. That's why the Bible says from one new moon into another, from Sabbath to Sabbath, we're going to be able to celebrate God. Now, will they need Sabbath in heaven? No. We're going to have Sabbath on earth. Amen. That's why we're going to be right here on planet earth, keeping the Sabbath even after we are saved. And watch this. For 1,000 years, however, while we're on vacation, you're going to have an assignment. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, you're going to be looking over the records to see why some folk didn't make it. That's why when we come back, I believe it's going to be after we come down in New Jerusalem, and that ball is rolling and riding the waves of the fire before he wipes away all tears. I believe that as we look out and see maybe loved ones burning up, after that is when the tears are going to be wiped away. When we see finally sin as done away with and there's no more pain, and Nahum 1:9 says affliction will not rise up the second time, and all of that is done and over, but for 1,000 years, remember in Revelation now, you say, what is this all about? For 1,000 years, the devil going to be on planet earth by himself with nobody to tempt. What will God say to him at that time? You wanted to be like me? You wanted to be God? Now, I want your assignment to be create something now. And we'll be right back. In fact, I'm going to give you 1,000 years to do it. I don't need you to make anything other than just a blade of grass. Look at my resume in Genesis chapter 1, verse. In fact, on the third day, I made plants, vegetation, and flowers, and I didn't make the sun until the fourth day. So I didn't need photosynthesis because I'm photosynthesis all by myself. Y'all missed that. So I'm God, and there's none other. That's my resume, so that in creation, I'm showing you that I've got all power, and therefore I'm going to make the grass on the third day and the flowers on the third day and the trees on the third day, but I'm going to make the sun and other luminaries on the fourth day because I'm God all by myself, and I can recreate in you a clean heart. I can put a spirit in you. In other words, I want you to now do what you have been saying you wanted to do. Be God, create something. I'll be right back. Just make a blade of grass. I mean, everything you made is artificial. Everything you made is a counterfeit. That's why, saints of God, I gotta say it, for us to be lost would be tragic because we have been bamboozled, hoodwinked, run amok by an unemployed cherubim that has nothing to do but deceive us into thinking that he's somebody when all he is a wannabe. With our eyes wide open, understanding now, the devil says, if I can't be God, I'm going to beat his creation. That's why you are under attack right now. You're under attack while you're single, and then when you get married, that complicated because now you're under attack because you're with somebody else. And both of y'all got baggage. I mean, both of us got baggage. Amen. When we came in the relationship, baggage. We messed up, jacked up, come with our baggage. Now, baggage that's not processed and dealt with, you're bringing it to the marriage. You're bringing it in there. You're bringing it to the relationship. So people say, well, marriage this, marriage that, marriage this, marriage that. My friend, we went to school with, very close friend. Some of y'all, in fact, y'all watched his show, Married at First Sight. Friend of mine, he wrote a book, Marriage is Not for Punks. And in the book, he says, when people talk about marriage doesn't work, he said, it ain't marriage that doesn't work. People don't work. So it's people in the marriage. He said, take two good eggs to make an omelet. Amen. So the problem is not marriage. The problem is not the relationship. It's those of us in the relationship. So God says, I got to process you so that when you get with somebody else, the relationship can, because I made male and female to work. Now, why isn't it not working then? Well, see, you got to understand, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, what? Be fruitful. That's what God said. And multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. He said multiply, replenish. In other words, he said you are to replenish, be fruitful. Why? Because the family on earth I'm going to bring to heaven. So I want you to make some little yous. I want you to make some little yous. That's the reason why, brothers and sisters, for 1,000 years, the devil can't make anything, because he understands that if I can't beat God, I'm going to beat his creation. And if he can't distort, watch this, if he can't distort the method, he's going to destroy the machinery. You say, well, what do you mean, distort the method? Oh, here we go. The Bible says, be fruitful. Distort the method so they can't be fruitful. What do you mean? When I get on the airplane and the flight attendant says, all right, put your seat back up and do all that. Now, and they take that little seat belt and they click it. It says, you should have on your right, you got a male and female. Okay. Your seat belt. Now, you don't have to be a theologian to understand this, y'all. Just fly on an airplane or even driving a car. You got to put your seat belt on, right? You got a male and you got a female. Now, when I grab my seat on this side, and somebody's on that side, and they got a male, and they got my male, and I got their female, and they know on the other side is another male, they know they can't click it, right? See, if it can't click, it doesn't fit, okay? If it doesn't. Oh, okay, y'all feeling me. See, in other words, if you got a male on this side, and you got a female on this side, you in good trouble. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go, pilot, take off. I got me a male and a female, but if I got two males, I'm like, please don't take off yet. I'm not ready. I got two males, and two males won't be able to be fruitful. So if I went along with the agenda and let you have it your way, you play right in the hands of the devil, and the creation and the repopulation of earth stops because you want to have it your way. So it's not even about who I want to love. It's not even about my choice. It's about a God in glory that gave us a plan and a program and said, if we follow his program and demonstrate how it's supposed to work, then you'll be happy, you'll be blessed, you'll be favored. But what we want to do is we will not do it God's way, and therefore we got problems. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish and over the sea. In other words, we were supposed to have dominion. And notice, saints, I'm almost finished. So notice, secondly, form dictates function. So, okay, I'm not going to be here long. When I show the next slide, I'm going to hit it real quick and go by it, because I don't want nobody to say, well, but form, in other words, you don't look the way you look. If you male, you ought to look male. Mm-hmm. You got some biceps and triceps and, you know, pectoral muscles. You ought to be male. You male. Your form dictates you being male. And there's some certain other things you have because your maleness, your form, so your function doesn't come by accident. And your form comes because God designed you that way. Now, when I have a problem with understanding that, I'm going to have a problem. Oh, see, some people got the exit mixed up with the entrance and, you know, okay, y'all figure that out later. All right, okay, I'm going to keep on rolling. So notice real quick. Form, I'm going to move real quick, but the form is not by accident. Form and function. In other words, God made it this way, not man. Male and female created he them in the image of God. That's why males look the way they look, females look the way they look, and I'm so glad they do, because he, when Adam was created, the Bible says he put Adam to sleep, gave him some kind of supernatural divine anesthesia. He laid down. He said, what you going to do? He said, don't worry about it. Trust me. Now, remember now, I got to be honest. Go back to this. I'm going to stop. What time is it? Okay, it's 1:11 p.m. I'm going to stop at 1:20, okay, a.m. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Okay. Here. See, what God did was, see, what you got to understand, what we got to understand is this. God was not lonely when he made us. He didn't need us. He wanted us. And what God felt in his heart, he wanted Adam to understand. So therefore, he made Adam first, and he gave Adam responsibility, right? Not to necessarily name the animals, but in the Hebrew, it really means he was able to identify the animals as they passed by. So when an elephant passed by, God said, what is that? An elephant. Ha! You tried to have me, didn't you, Jesus? His mind was so awesome when a zebra passed by. That's a zebra. Ha! His mind was awesome. And that's why when we get to heaven, our brain's going to expand and grow, and we're just going to be incredible. So when a little rat, and they went by two. Now, some people say, well, Adam saw that and said, I'm missing something. No, I got to beg to differ. Adam was so perfect and so complete. It wasn't his ideal that he needed somebody, because the next text says, God said, it's not good for you to be alone, brother. It's not good. Why? Because you got so much in you to give. And now why? He is not incomplete that he needs somebody. He's incomplete in that he doesn't have his completeness to bestow on somebody else. Oh, y'all gonna get that. Y'all missed that. In other words, I'm so single. And that's the best time when you're ready to get married. See, don't get married because you are alone. Get married because you're so single. Now you're looking around, taking resumes, seeing who's worthy. Who's worthy of my completeness. In other words, I have so much in me, now I need the object of my affections to bestow my completeness on. See, Adam had it going. So that's why you got to understand. God said, I've got so much love in me, I'm going to make somebody that I can bestow my love on. For you to trip about God's love, you have misinformed. God wants to bless you. God wants to put his love on you. God can't help but to bless you. Why? I'm looking for some objects to put my affection on. So he made us in his image. And he said, Adam, I've been carrying this thing around for a long time. I'm just looking for somebody to love. And so he made us. And when a man and a woman come together, it's because I'm looking for somebody to bestow my goodness on, opposed to what can I get out of it. See, relationship break down because what I'm going to get? How you going to bless me? What you going to do for me? And therefore, I got a disruption came because of sin. And now look at us now. It's us. What's wrong with you? We can't communicate. See, now remember now, before sin, Adam was willing to die with Eve. After sin, he ready to throw sister girl under the bus. Now you got to remember, before sin, she came with the fruit that God said don't eat, and Adam knew. Oh my goodness! We wouldn't be in sin right now if Adam had. Now that's hard, because you got to remember, Adam had a honeymoon, and I don't know what Eve put on him. Can I be real? Because see, when she brought that fruit, he was like, the Lord. So, brothers, we can't be hard on Adam. Now, remember, she was the first woman, 36, 24. She was all that. Bag of chips, barbecue, and the Doritos, the red bag, and the blue bag. She was all of that. She had it going on. And so God says, I'm going to put you to sleep. I'm going to take a rib out of your side, and boom, He put him to sleep, made that woman, and said, wake up, boy. He woke up, bro. In fact, he was so good, he said, whoa, man. That's how he got woman, by the way, y'all. Whoa, man. And then he looked at God and said, God, this is for me. Yes, that's yours. Are you serious? Yes, he's blessed. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that's within me. That was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, taken from his side, which means he wasn't taken from the head so she'll rule over him, taken from his foot so that he might strump. No, from the equal, different functions, but equal. Different function, but equal. Therefore, a woman should not be subject. She should not be pushed down and pressed down. A man should not take advantage of her. They're equal. That's how God made it, equal, male and female. And therefore, the problem is, after sin, before sin, he was ready to die with her. Because, see, we wouldn't be in sin right now if Adam would have said, this is how it should have gone. But I can't blame Adam because I'd be jacking up myself right now. The only thing different between Adam and Eve, they got to the tree first. Because we still doing dumb stuff with all this knowledge. I'm telling the truth. I mean, even after we leave out of church today, being blessed with the music and the singing and all that, we're going to go out of here and probably still cuss somebody out. Not y'all. It was somebody else. I don't know what I'm saying. But God said, Adam said, this is what Adam should have done. I'm closing. Adam should have said, ooh, you in trouble. He would have been over. We would, ooh. Listen, Eve, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to anoint you right now in the name of Jesus. And this is all Adam had to say. Babe, I love you. And may the Lord watch between me and thee. It'll be done. But that was before sin. If he had done that. But no, Adam was willing to die with her before sin. He willing to die. I'm going out with you. But now, why is it that we have problems we have? It's sin. The reason why we can't get along is because an enemy have done this. And if we don't get intel from God and knowledge and wisdom and how to actually function as male and female in relationship with somebody else, you're going to have problems. God gives us this blueprint. I'm going to close because I was going to ask some points I was going to share with you. Next time I come, we'll talk about that. But really, the reality is this. See, all relationships start off this way, cooperation. We got something in common. We start talking. And Myron Rush, in his book, Hope for Hurting Relationships, he says you go from cooperation to retaliation because of frustration of unfulfilled needs not being met. In other words, there's some things that's going on in my life that I need, but you're not fulfilling it. And opposed to me telling you what it is, I gunny sack, live with it, and don't express it and talk about it. And so relationship is so important, but communication is like blood to the body. Communication is to a relationship. When it ceases to flow, death is inevitable. So we got to learn to communicate. We got to learn to talk. That's all. We got to learn to talk. See, that's why Adam, after they sinned, it was God says, where are you? Depending on where you are is going to depend on how you respond. See, Adam hid himself. He hid himself because that's where he was. See, in other words, where we are mentally, spiritually, in our relationships, where we are, is why we having the problems that we have. So when you ask that question, where are you? What's on your mind? What's your attitude like? What's your action? What's your work? In other words, where are you? The Bible says, if it's possible, live peacefully with all men that lie within you. So maybe I can't be at one minute with somebody else because something is in me. What's in me? One thing I like about God is that He shows us that he was hurt by us so that it gives us a chance to say, I'm sorry. On Calvary, when Jesus hung on that cross, he said, y'all hurt me. You broke my heart. Sin got me. But I want you to know Anybody that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So let's start the conversation. The conversation has to start. But forgiveness is a word that's so powerful that sometimes we can't communicate because we can't forgive. And forgiveness, two words, forgive. In other words, to forgive, you have to give for. Switch it around. See, in other words, I can forgive you, but I've got to give for your offense to let you off. I got to give for that. And so when Jesus says, I forgive you, I'm going to give for your offense. I'm going to give the lamb. I'm going to be the lamb. I'm going to be the offering. I'm going to give the demand of the law, and I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give for your offense. Now, do you want to make the relationship right? Come now, let's reason together. Let's talk. And that's what it takes in relationships. Somebody got to take the initiative. Somebody got to say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Please forgive me. And that's all God says. Come now, let's reason together. The reason why we have these fractions and division is because we don't have the love of God in our hearts, and we need it desperately, and we're a work in progress. You know what we are, saints? And I'll close with this. Relationship, especially marriage, is two imperfect people learning to love perfectly. Imperfect as we are. I'm learning day by day. And I'm going to stay here until we get it right. I'm going to communicate. I'm going to talk. I'm going to be here. I'm not going to run. See, and by the way, I meant to tell you, you're not ready really to get married unless you're ready to minister. Because marriage is ministry. Because you're going to see stuff in that person that either going to make you run stay. What do you mean? See, God says, out of all the people you could have chosen, you chose that person. Now, I need you to do me a favor. Minister. Now, you're going to see some stuff that their own mama don't know about. Their own daddy don't know about. Will you minister to my child in my absence? You're going to see things. Are you going to run because you saw something that hurt your feelings? And you didn't? Because, see, you don't make a covenant to another person. You make a covenant to God about that person. Let me say that again. You're making a covenant to God about that person. And so when we make this covenant today, and I've kept you longer than I wanted to, but saints, I understand now, Kyron, why last week you were fighting, trying to let that thing go, land that plane. It's hard to let it go when you've got a burden. Our church can be only as strong as we are individually. And the reason why I say that is because your body can only be as strong as your cells in your body. And today, I want us to be healthy. I want our relationships to be healthy. I'm going to talk more about it next time. How do we do that? How do we fix that? Because, again, relationships move like this. Cooperation, retaliation, domination, then isolation. And if you don't somewhere put on the brakes, because retaliation is when, since I'm not getting my needs met, I'm going to do some little things off the wall. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be, and then we move from what is called retaliation to domination, where the person with the least interest has the most power. It ain't fair. That's just how it is. In other words, if somebody put $1 million in a bank and you only put a penny in the bank, whoever puts the most emotional involvement in the bank is going to be tied to that bank. And so when somebody love hard and give all and the other person care less, then they dangling you around. And then what eventually happens, you get tired of it and you say, since I'm being dominated like this, I'll be around you, but I'm not with you. And you go into isolation. I'm here, but I ain't here. I done checked out. And saints, with the power of God that's available for us, we ought to ask God for the Holy Ghost to help us love right. Communicate. Do the will of God. And we need God's power. Today, if you want to say, yes, God, I need that power, why don't you stand with me? I need the power of God. Just stand with me. I want to pray over you. I need the power of God to do what God called us to do in this relationship, because it's bigger than us. It's a great controversy. The devil is angry. He's upset with the people of God, those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And today we're standing because we're saying, God, we need your power in our lives. And right now, Father, there may be somebody here while we're standing who needs to be a part of your church. There may be somebody here who needs to say, yes, God, I need to surrender my life to you. If there is such a person here today, it's non-evasive, don't want to put you on the spot, but you need the church family. You want to become a part of the people of God. That's okay. Put your hand up. Just raise your hand. If you need to be a part of a church family, God bless you, my sister. I see you. God bless you. You want a church that's going to teach you the word of God. You want Bible studies. You want to learn. And you want to just get your soul right. You want to see Jesus when he comes back. You want to say, well done. You want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You want to look up and say, Lord, this is my God. We've waited for him. He's coming back one day. He is. And that's why we want to be ready. And you're standing now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we stand here because we are in desperate need of your power. Lord, we are so broken, undone, unfinished, incomplete. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that you won't let go of us. Thank you for reminding us today through your word that we were created to repopulate heaven, male and female in the image of God. We're not an accident. So now, Lord, I realize that I've got to be vigilant. Because if the devil can't distort the method, men with men, women with women, he wants to destroy the machinery, syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, AIDS, and other diseases that wants to destroy our machinery. If anything, he wants to deface the image of God so we cannot represent you. So I pray for my brothers and sisters under the sound of my voice. And those who are online, Father, I pray that they too will recognize their need for you. There will be a QR code. And they can register if they want Bible studies. They want to join the church. And Father, I pray that when you come, that you'll claim us as your own. I thank you, Lord, for my sister, young lady, raised her hand now as we minister to her. I pray that your spirit will continue to bless her. I know she's here for a reason, God, and I know you have called her by name. But the Bible says we cannot come to you unless you call us. And so I pray again that your sweet spirit will continue to move on our hearts. I pray that you'll be with Message of Hope, Lord, and that you would bless us as a people. Be with every member, those who are here and those who are online. And when you come, Father, save us, claim us, and take us home, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.